pounded against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, you good riding daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off Mount San Antonio with a radio blasting and the bird dog gone. Me and my boy got the trigger wound, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar band.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hang around.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And here we are, and welcome to the shooting bench. It is, what is it? It's the 2nd of December. It's a Monday. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving weekend and was safe and everything. And speaking of that, I need to throw something in here real quick that is had to do with Thanksgiving weekend. It's very sad. It's heartbreaking. We had a good family here from Sholo who were crossing the Tonto Basin Creek down in, I won't quite say southern Arizona, but it's, I don't know, south central, I guess. But anyway, they were trying to cross running water, and apparently they were in a, a four-wheeler or a side-by-side or something like that, a, what do they call those things, a Ranger or something like that. Do what? Laney said, somebody said it was a military vehicle, so I don't know what it was. But anyway, whatever it was, it turned the vehicle over, washed everybody out. Some of the kids, I guess, saved themselves. The man saved the wife, and three of the kids were washed away. And two of them have been recovered. Of course, they were deceased when they found them, and there's one that they have not found yet. They found a little girl, 5 or 6 years old. They found some... they found her clothing, her shirt and pants. She'd been beat, moist, plumb out of them. So this is going to be a very, very, very sad Thanksgiving day for the rest of their life. It'll never be the same for them. So definitely we've been praying for them regularly since this happened. Some of our guys have been down there helping, trying to find them. Or find her, the one that's still left. Apparently, I haven't heard anything yet. I guess she's still missing. So nobody knows how far downstream she went. So if you're the praying sort, we'll send some prayers up for the Rawlings family out of Sholo, Wyoming. Sholo, Wyoming. Wow. Sholo, Arizona. There we go. Right here. Sholo, Arizona. Okay. Right here in Sholo, Arizona, after we get past that little bit of devastating news, we have quite a bit of snow come up here. We were planning on, had some other plans for Thanksgiving weekend, and it didn't turn out so well. We had, I guess it was Friday morning sometime that it started snowing, snowed all day, and anywhere from, 6 or 8 inches up to over, 24, 28 inches around the northern part of the state. And then it got real cold and it started. We lost a little bit of it yesterday. Didn't melt too much today. Didn't get all that warm today. So anyway, when the snow goes away, maybe we'll be able to continue with what we had a lot of plans. I was supposed to work. We had other things going on and it just didn't happen. So one of those things. Been a very long weekend. We've had a series, besides for the snow, getting stuck, in the driveway, and had a friend come over and visit Saturday night, and he got stuck. We couldn't get out of one side of our driveway. We could only get out the side that was the muddiest. Hey, there's Frog joined us. Glad to see you. Who all is in here anyway before we go any farther with that story? Let's see. There's the Tinker and Minnie and Mountain Shooter and Dan and Pumpkin Cat and Yakima Glock. Handful of anonymous there. All right, glad to see you guys in here tonight. Anyway, so Sunday I was planning on working. I didn't want to, and I don't ordinarily work after church or on Sundays at all. But because everything else put me so far behind, I was going to work Sunday after church. Well, and then he got stuck, so I had to spend Sunday afternoon getting him out of here. And so it just hasn't worked out. Then I was going to work today, and Amy had tire trouble on there, and one of her things that she does is tend to, take care of usually elderly people, not always, but people that are homebound and need some help doing things, and she goes and does those kind of things. So she had tire trouble, and this lady had a doctor's appointment she couldn't miss, so I had to miss everything again today to go help take care of that. So hopefully tomorrow I'll get to do some of the things that I need to do. Tomorrow night on here, I don't know, some of you that are local and listening, at the Stanford store down at the Y, they call it, the 60, Highway 60, 61 Y, I'm going to be doing a kind of a meet and greet down there, just answering questions and getting some signatures on my petition for my run for sheriff next year. And thank you, Tebow, for that 5x5. I was wondering there. And so if any of you are local, want to come down and join me for that, we're just nothing formal, just going to be sitting around visiting a little bit and answering questions and stuff. The following day, on Tuesday, I have to go to do what? On Tuesday, I have to go to Springerville at 11 o'clock in the morning at the Senior Center over there to do another meet and greet with David Peelman, who is the representative, constitutional conservative representative for LD7 here in Arizona. LD7 is the largest legislative district in the United States. Apache County that I'm running for sheriff of here is the sixth largest county in the United States. Definitely not in population, but in land mass. So interesting statistics we have here of some of the things we have in this part of Arizona. Okay, Mountain Shooter, good idea. That's why you stayed home. That's why I should have stayed home. I did stay home. I just didn't want to. Other things to do. So as we get started on this, I want to mention some friends of mine up in Washington. I know we have quite a few Washington listeners, some of you on the chat room, some of them in the podcast. But I've mentioned this before, and I want to throw it in here again. Brubaker Arms, Brubaker Arms Manufacturing. And they are up there in Yakima Glock's part of the woods there in Yakima Valley. And he's familiar with them. Anyway, custom gun builders, custom gunsmithing, and general firearms repair. They're great people. I haven't met them yet personally, but I've talked to them quite a bit through emails and texts and stuff. And when I talked about this before, remember I started writing a few articles for them that goes on their blog. Well, this is going to start being a regular thing. So I've been talking with them, and And starting first of the year, I'm going to have a new article on there every week. So in order to find this blog, if you want to check it out, a lot of interesting stuff. There's other people that write on it too. Go to brewbakerarms.com. And when that page opens up, underneath the rifle that you see there, you'll see a line of a little menu thing, horizontal menu with repairs and maintenance, custom builds and prices and all that stuff. Well, in that is a link for the forum. The forum, the blog, is called We the People. So when you open up the forum link there, you'll come down to a little description of We the People and what they're, talking about, the Constitution and freedom and liberty and Second Amendment and all the things that we love and enjoy here. And then you start getting into the stories. Now, I've already got several on there, but, it's irregular. Well, it's going to start being regular here in about 3 weeks. So, every week, a new story. The stories are going to include, Second Amendment stuff in general, guns, big game, small game, some gear and obviously some constitutional issues and freedom and liberty in general. So quite a few different things. We're kind of space them out as well as we can but things come up sometimes. An inspiration hits me that I think I need to get something out. So, I don't know that they'll be, exactly, every week. This one will be on big game hunting, and the next one will be small game, and the next one will be the Constitution, that blah, blah, blah. So it probably won't be that way, because you know me. I get hit with feelings pretty regular that I need to do something, and I just do it. So that's what you're going to see on We the People on brewbakerarms.com starting 1st of January. Actually, I may even throw one in here before the end of the month, just because I'm kind of getting itchy. I haven't put one up there for a couple of weeks, so I'm getting kind of thinking I ought to put something out there before long. Okay, what else? One of the big things that I wanted to talk about tonight, and I put this on Facebook, all over Facebook, and stop, hold the press. Mountain Shooter looks like he is working on living in Cochise County, Arizona. Well, it wouldn't be my first choice. I was hoping Apache County would be your first choice, and you'd be over here with the rest of us. But as long as you're in Arizona and not in California, you're going to have a wonderful time. You're making a good move there as soon as you're able. Let me know when you get that taken care of, and we'll make it a point to get over there and visit you. Or if you're over here, let me know, and we'll do the same thing. So one of the things that I wanted to... The main theme, I guess, for tonight, there has been quite a number of memes and stories on Facebook talking about marijuana and guns. And I've come to believe that this is probably one of the most misunderstood subjects in the gun world, at least for now. There's lots of them, they pop in and out, but, I don't know exactly how to start this. Let me start it out by saying that every meme that I've seen so far has been either blatantly wrong or misleading in some way. Most of them, in some form or another, say that, the states are, well, I've got one of them right here in front of me. It says, before you celebrate the legalization of marijuana, just know that nearly every state that has legalized it has also legislated that you lose your right to own a gun if you are prescribed it or buy it recreationally. Pot legalization is turning out to be a backdoor way for the government to get you to voluntarily give up your guns. No, it's not. This is ridiculous. It's asinine from one end to the other. It says, let's start from the top here. Nearly every state that has legalized it has also legislated that you lose your right to own a gun if you're prescribed it or buy it recreationally. That is not true. Number one, nearly every state hasn't done that. Some of them have. Arizona hasn't. You can still, as far as the state goes, you can still buy a gun if you are prescribed marijuana. You have a medical marijuana card. But the thing is about this, it makes no difference whatsoever, not one iota, the tiniest little microscopic iota possible, it makes no difference whether the states have or have not made it illegal. It is so irrelevant that I can't believe I'm wasting breath even talking about it tonight, because it is still and will be for the foreseeable future a federal felony for you to have anything to do with marijuana and guns at the same time. Period. No discussion, no exceptions whatsoever. It doesn't matter if you have a medical marijuana card. It doesn't matter if you only smoke it once a month or once a year. It don't matter if you just have it in your house and don't smoke it at all. You cannot buy, possess, own, transfer, nothing, touch, work on, be around guns, period. If you use marijuana, if you look at question 11E, I think it is, on the 4473, form 4473 that you fill out to buy a gun, if you look at 11E, it asks you if you are an unlawful user. Let me bring that up here. Hang on a second. Let me get you the exact wording here. All right, it says you are an unlawful user of, it asks you, it says you cannot own a gun, you can't transfer a gun. It says, are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or any depressant, stimulant, narcotic drug, or any controlled substance? This is a yes or no question. If you answer, let me finish this question here. It says, warning, the use or possession of marijuana remains unlawful under federal law regardless of whether it has been legalized or decriminalized for medicinal or recreational purposes in the state where you reside. It's a yes or no question. Yes, you can, just like all the rest of the questions, you can answer no and lie on the form and maybe get your gun, maybe everything will be fine. That doesn't mean it's okay. I mean, it's okay with me, I don't care, but it doesn't mean it's legal. You can answer no, you can still get the gun. You have just committed a federal felony. If they catch you lying on this form, you're going to get in so much trouble. You're going to get charged with, number one, committing perjury on this federal form. Number two will be possession, enhanced charge of having a firearm and drugs at the same time. See, the feds still see marijuana, right, wrong, or indifferent, doesn't make any difference. The feds still see marijuana as a type 1 or class 1 narcotic. It does not matter what your state has said about it, period. Yes, the state may allow it. Yes, you may be able to buy a gun at a garage sale while you're smoking a joint. And the state doesn't care. Some state, depending. In Arizona, they don't care. But that doesn't matter. You are still a federally prohibited possessor. This is the same as being a felon. It's the same as being a being charged with a domestic abuse. Whatever. Any of these things make you a felon. These are felonies. Now, of course, there'll always be some smartass out there that'll argue that you're not a felon unless you get caught, unless you've been charged. Okay. Yeah, just like running a stop sign. If you don't get caught, does that make it not illegal? No, it means you didn't get caught. So, you may go for some time. You may go forever and not get caught. I'm just telling you that it's illegal and there are zero exceptions to this. In any way, shape, form, or fashion, there is no possible way that you can have anything to do with marijuana. I'm not talking about any other drugs. You know, we already know that, heroin, LSD, meth, all this kind of stuff. We already know about that. Well, in the feds' eyes, marijuana falls in the same category with this stuff. So it doesn't make any difference which one of those. It's still a felony. You can say that you've gotten away with it multiple times. Maybe you have. Just because you get away with something does not make it legal. It means you got away with it. Having a medical marijuana card does not change that whatsoever in the Fed's eyes. The states, depends on your state. Check your own laws. You can check them all you want to. You may be very pleased to find out that your state does not prohibit gun ownership with your medical marijuana card. Hooray for your side. It doesn't matter. It is still a federal felony. You cannot buy a gun from an individual because you are a prohibited possessor. It is illegal for a 10-year-old boy to buy a handgun from a yard sale because he is a prohibited possessor. Not because he smokes dope, but because he's 10 years old. I'm not sure what rifle is, but handgun, he does, as far as the feds are concerned, have to be 18. Some states say 21, some say 18, some say 19. But none of them say 10 years old. So he is a prohibited possessor. Can he buy it and get away with it? Possibly, because maybe the person selling it to him doesn't know the law. That doesn't make it legal. It means that neither one of them knew the law. Or maybe the guy, you know, running the yard sale didn't care and just wanted to make the $200. Well, if that gun belonged to him, if he bought it new, or if he bought it from somewhere and the serial number was recorded, and that 10-year-old boy gets it stolen from him or goes out and hurts somebody with it, and they run the serial number, it's going to come back on the guy that sold it to him. And the guy that sold it to him is now, the 10-year-old boy has committed a felony because he bought it. The guy at the yard sale has committed a felony because he sold it to him. And marijuana is exactly the same way. Having the card doesn't change anything. Whatever age you are, whatever prescription you've got, whatever your state law says, makes absolutely not one tiny bit of difference. I hope I've made that crystal clear to everybody. Hey, we got somebody. Oh, Ange, welcome. Good to see you in here. Watching there from Snowflake, Arizona. All right, Ange is running for Navajo County Treasurer. For those of you that are in northern Arizona, especially Navajo County, I would urge you to support Angela Sadler. Ange Sadler. Sadler, not Sadler. She's not one who saddles. She is Sadler. So, great gal, good friend of mine. We've had a lot of fun. We're all kind of running on this thing together. Even though I'm Apache County, a lot of her events and stuff will have Apache County people attend in our meet and greets and whatnot. And speaking of that, for those of you in northern Arizona, if you want to join us, David Peelman and Angela and myself and probably Walt Blackman, and I don't have the deal in front of me right now, probably a couple others, are going to be at the Reagan Day dinner at Sholo Cafe here in Sholo. And that'll be on the 6th of February. I guess if I was going to talk about that, I should have brought the cotton picking thing up in front of me. Anyway, we still got a lot of time before then. So it's the 6th of February in the afternoon. I think it starts at 6. I'm not sure. So if you want to join us, I wish you would. It's going to be a lot of fun. Sholo Cafe has great food. They've got a nice place for us there to have our event. And we've had political events there before, and they're good people. The people at Sholo Cafe are exceedingly patriotic. They have an entire wall about, it's probably 20, 25 feet long. Angela said her ancestor used to make saddles, so maybe that's where Sadler comes from. Yeah, evidently. That's good to know. That's neat. Anyway, this wall from, top to bottom, or all top to almost bottom, is covered up with pictures and poems and flags and all this kind of stuff that about veterans and current soldiers and people deploying, people going out, people coming in, people that have died. It's a neat really touching thing to sit there. And you can stand there and look at it for, you know, 20 minutes and go through all the things that's on there. It's kind of neat. And they changed owners here a while back, but nothing changed. They moved part of the wall from the foyer, from the entry, out to the main dining area there. And, but it's all still the same thing. So if you're coming to Sholo on February 6th, you join us down there. If you're coming to Sholo anytime besides February 6th, you still should go down there just because they're good people and they got great food. Tebow says his ancestors stole saddles. Angela's ancestors made them and Tebow stole them. All right, let's see here. You know what? I'm gonna take a little short break here. I hope this recording turns out. DeTinker, I hope you're recording this also, because the recording on this end may not be real clear, but I'm backing it up anyway, hoping that you are also, because I want to get this archive out on Facebook and on the podcast and everything. So I want to make sure we don't lose it, because this guns and marijuana thing has been eating people up here for a long time. So anyway, I'm going to take a little break here, and when I come back, I got some more gun things I want to share with you, and we'll do that.
I'll be back.
I don't know how that happened there. We kind of got that backwards. Let me move this back over where it's supposed to be, like that. All right, let's do this differently now. All right, let's try that one more.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
And I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here, who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me it is clearly an instrument of peace and liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights. And considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. Rights that man is born with, and has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia, King pulling crossmen in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane ramp on Saturday right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answered what I've done. Looks today like we got about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, this game's on TV. I'm burning hell before I sell my rights away from me. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be. From whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to, please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, let me get the right Bush button pushed here. Welcome back to the Shooting Bench on Friday, the 2nd of December. You know, it's almost Christmas already. I might have to start playing Christmas music in my intros here pretty quick, probably next week. I don't want to get too early with it and get tired of it after a while. But I want to spend just a little bit more time on this. I hope I don't bore you guys too much, but, you know, I don't really care because I want you to understand and be able to share this information and share it, you know, and have a good handle of what it's about, this marijuana and gun thing. I've got a couple more things I want to say here. And, you know, I don't say much of anything. If I tell you it's my opinion, or if it is my opinion, I'll tell you it's my opinion. And you can take that for what it's worth. If it's fact, I'll have something to back it up. And I do research for everything that I tell you, unless I say that it is my experience or it is my opinion, then it is. And you can take it for whatever it's worth to you. So all of this stuff that I've been telling you about marijuana and guns tonight, I'm going to read something from the ATF here in just a second. But back to this meme, the second half of that says, pot legalization is turning out to be a backdoor way for the government to get you to voluntarily give up your gun rights. The word to the wise. No, it's not, folks. This hasn't changed for almost 52 years. It's not any different now than it was in 1968 when they come up with the 1968 Gun Control Act. That's where it became illegal for you to do anything with marijuana and guns, period. It's not a backdoor anything because it doesn't matter what the state said. It doesn't matter what the state makes you do. It just doesn't matter because it's still a federal felony. So let me read you what the ATF said about this. I've got two or three different things. What I have right now is a computer that's not responding. There it is. Okay. This is an open, this is directly from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives. Open letter to all federal firearms licensees. ATF has received a number of inquiries regarding the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes and its applicability to federal firearms laws. The purpose of this open letter is to provide guidance on the issue to assist you, a federal firearms licensee, in complying with federal firearms laws and regulations. A number of states have passed legislation allowing, under state law, the use or possession of marijuana for medicinal purposes, and some of the states issue a card authorizing the holder to use or possess marijuana under state law. During a firearms transaction, a potential transferee may advise you that he or she is a user of medical marijuana or present a medical marijuana card as identification or proof of residency. Now let me break in right there just a second. People will show you that card, I guess because they think it's cool, and when they ask the part if you're an illegal user on question 11E on form 4473, they think that this is a get out of jail free card. They think this card allows them. They say, I'm not an illegal user because I have permission from the government right here. I have this card. That is a state matter. The feds don't care. You are just as much a felon if you go through with this transaction with or without that card. All right, back to the letter. As you know, federal law 18 U.S.C. section 922 G3 provide, you want to hear that again? 18 U.S.C. section 922 G3, if you want to look it up, prohibits any person who is an unlawful user of or addicted to any controlled substance as defined in section 102 of the Controlled Substances Act from shipping, transporting, receiving, or possessing firearms or ammunition. Marijuana is listed in the Controlled Substances Act as a Schedule 1 controlled substance, and there are no exceptions in federal law for marijuana purportedly used for medicinal purposes, even if such use is sanctioned by state law. Further, federal law 18 U.S.C. section 922 D3 makes it unlawful for any person to sell or otherwise dispose of any firearm or ammunition to any person knowing or having reasonable cause to believe that such person is an unlawful user of or addicted to a controlled substance. As provided by 27 CFR section 478.11, an inference of current use may be drawn from evidence of a recent use or possession of a controlled substance or a pattern of use or possession that reasonably covers the present time. What that means is if you have a card, they are going to assume that you have it in your home or that you have used it recently or that you're going to use it, all of which make you a felon. Therefore, any person who uses or is addicted to marijuana, regardless of whether his or her state has passed legislation authorizing marijuana use for medicinal purposes, is an unlawful user of or addicted to a controlled substance and is prohibited by federal law from possessing firearms or ammunition. Such persons should answer yes to question 11E on ATF Form 4473, firearms transaction record, and you may not transfer firearms or ammunition to them. Further, if you are aware that the potential transferee is in possession of a card authorizing the possession and use of marijuana under state law, then you have reasonable cause to believe that that person is an unlawful user of a controlled substance. As such, you may not transfer firearms or ammunition to that person, even if the person answered no to question 11E. So your dealer is going to become a felon as soon as he lets you have that gun. If he, for instance, if he knows you and realize and knows that you have that card, he has reason to believe that you are an unlawful user, an illegal user. By the way, I saw Nan and Pumpkin Cat and AZ Bound drop in there, and M. Glock. Glad you guys made it in tonight. I don't know how much of the discussion you've missed, but that podcast will be up and available tonight. And you can find that on tsb.podbean.com. Let me put that in the chat room here real quick so that anybody that wants to refer to this, tsb.podbean.com. Okay. So if you want to refer to this podcast, it'll be up here in an hour or so. And if you have an argument with somebody and they tell you that they can or can't do whatever, you can go back and refer to this because it's not just my opinion. I've just read you the law. I know. We don't believe that the BATF has the authority to do that, but they do have the authority to do that, whether we like it or not. They will shoot you just as dead if you oppose them as they will as any other outfit would. So while they may not be constitutionally authorized, they're going to do what they're going to do, whether you like it or not. So you either need to be prepared to fight them to the death, or you need to be prepared to get with your legislators and get laws and regulations and policies changed. Get with people like David Peelman, LD7 candidate for candidate for LD7 representative here in Arizona, and he is as good as they come. Luckily, he's a friend of mine, and I'm going to do everything I can to help him get in there, just like we're going to help Angela, and hopefully they're going to help me. So we're just all going to get together and have one big, happy victory party here in November of next year, we hope. So, all right, that's the dope and guns thing for the night. Hopefully that was of some benefit to some of you. Okay, let's move on to bigger and better things here. This is a wonderful story. I love this story. This is a woman, and a lot of you probably saw this on Facebook, 104 years old, killed her first ever buck on her first ever hunt. Her name is Florence Teeters. Said she's probably Wisconsin's oldest registered hunter. Said, I took mom out to the blind this year. This is her son talking. Took mom out to the blind this year. Had a nice chair for her. It was nice and warm. A little after 4 p.m., buck shows up about 30 yards away. I tapped her on the knee and pointed. She nodded and smiled and was real quiet, and she took the shot. And she was happy. She was screaming about it. I got a buck. That's cool. She was born in 1915. That's pretty dang awesome right there, if you ask me. Okay, let's see where we're at here. You know what? I think I'm going to play a song here and try to organize some of this stuff just a little bit. So if you would, stay with me.
I told you I'd leave a light on, in case you ever wanted to come back home. You smiled and said you appreciate the gesture. I took your every word to heart, 'cause I can't stand us being apart. And just to show how much I really miss you, every light in the the house is on. The backyard's bright as the crack of dawn. The front walk looks like runway lights. It's kinda like noon in the dead of night. Every light in the house is on, just in case you ever do get tired of being gone. Every light in the house is on. If I should ever start forgetting, I'll turn the lights off one by one, so you can see that I agree it's over. But until then, I want you to know, if you look south, you'll see a glow. That's me waiting at home each night to hold you. Every light in the house is on. The backyard bright as the crack of dawn. The front walk looks like a runway light. It's kinda like noon in the dead of night. Every light in the house is on, just in case you ever do get tired of being gone. Oh, every light in the house is on. The backyard
the house is on. And thank you, Trace Atkins. We're back here again. We're probably going to run over just a little bit because I forgot there's a couple stories here I want to make sure that I get covered tonight. So bear with me. I'll get with them as quick as I can here and let you all get on with your evening here. Are you familiar with asphalia? No, I know there's a joke in there somewhere, but that's not what we're talking about. Asphalia in Greek means safety. I think that's the way you pronounce it. And it's also a company here that makes concealed carry purses. Now, these concealed carry purses are a little bit different than most of them. They are very classy looking purses. They're very, very nice. And I've seen purses from, who is that down in, Galco and Bianchi and some of those. You know, some of these purses are $200 and $300 and more. I've seen it. Actually, Galco had one that was $450 or $499 or something like that a few years ago. I don't know if they're still carrying it or not. But this is a nice looking purse. Now, the thing that's unique about this, it has, there's two or three sizes. It talks about small and large. It doesn't mention a medium. So I don't know if it has three sizes or not. But anyway, the large measures 13.5 inches by 10 inches by 5.5 inches. So it's 5.5 inches wide, 10 inches tall, 13.5 inches long. The small, not that much smaller, but it may be better suited for some people. It's 11 inches long, 9 inches high, and 4.5 inches wide. The thing that's unique about these is they have an optional ballistic plate to put in there, the same type of, not a plate, but a 3A type Kevlar pad that goes in there. A level 3A means it'll stop 357, 44 Magnum, some 9 millimeters, most of your handgun rounds. It won't stop too many rifles. It would probably stop a 30 carbine and, 3220, something like that. But it's not going to stop anything of any significance. Now, why is a ballistic plate in a purse beneficial in any way? NAND, the manufacturer of the purse, let me spell that for you. It's pronounced asphalia. Like I said, that means safety in Greek. It is spelled, let me bring that back up here. Okay. I spell Alpha, Sierra, Foxtrot, Alpha, Lima, Echo, India, Alpha. A-S-F-A-L-E-I-A. Asphalia. This is definitely a designer purse. Now, my question is, why is a ballistic plate in a purse or a ballistic pad in a purse useful to you? Well, here's why. Back in the old, I've told this story before. I've thought about, you know, I've talked about this, not this particular purse, but remember, if you go on YouTube, you can look up one of my old videos where I made, we had some, Jason and I come up with a, what we used to call a recon bag. We had a lady that manufactured them for us over in Farmington. And the purpose for us creating this bag is because Jason and I got in a position accidentally at an inopportune time to be of benefit to law enforcement. There were some drug dealers in some abandoned trailers by this old trailer park. We went up on this hill for whatever reason, I don't remember, but we got up on this hill, and we were in a position where we could see law enforcement, and we could see the dope guys, but they couldn't see each other. So through cell phone, we were able to talk to law enforcement and kind of direct them in the direction they need to go and keep them safe. And they eventually, you know, took them all down. It was a wonderful day. But while we were up there, we weren't planning on being there for the length of time that we were there. So we got thirsty. We needed optics. There's a lot of things we could have had that would have benefited us. So we started making it a habit after that to carry a small bag, and I still maintain that habit today, where we have a small bag in the vehicle with us, and if we're going to get out for any period of time, if we're going to get out just to run to the top of the hill and look at something, which is what we did there, we're going to take this small bag with us. This small bag has a 40-ounce hydration bladder in it. It has an extra magazine, that has optics, a little bit of first aid stuff, a blowout kit, just a very minimal amount of stuff where if anything happens, you know, somebody steals my truck while I step out of it or whatever the case may be, I've got this minimal amount of stuff with me to keep me healthy and alive and going well until I get back to civilization here. So we called those recon bags, the one we made. But anyway, in these bags that we made a pocket specifically for a ballistic plate. And here's why. If you have this purse or this recon bag that we used to make, and you feel that you're in this position where you're about to get involved in an honest-to-goodness, real-life gunfight, then you can take this bag. You know, obviously it's over your shoulder. You grab it with your, as a right-handed shooter, you would grab it with your left hand, and you bring this purse up to cover your vitals, to cover your heart and stuff. And yeah, they still may break your arm. I mean, if they shoot you in the head, it's not going to matter, but it covers up the most important thing. Now, back in the 20s and 30s, even before that, they used to teach U.S. Marshals to hold their fist over their heart as they were shooting, as they get involved in this gunfight. The theory was that because some of the calibers were so anemic back in those days, that fist would slow that bullet down enough or stop it before it got deep enough to be fatal. So same theory there. You just got a little bigger thing to cover it with this bag. And, Nan, that's exactly right. You are exactly right there. She says during colonial times it was called a possibles bag. That's exactly correct. Men carried them and you look at, go to some of the, what do they call those things? There's Nan says reenactment, but what's the other, starts with an R, what do they call them? Where everybody goes and they've got this, everybody's running around there acting like mountain men and everything. Oh, geez, I've been to a dozen of them. I'll be damned. Anyway, those folks carried a possibles bag. All the mountain men, you know, back from a rendezvous. Thank you, Nan. Damn. Mountain Man back, you know, Daniel Boone time and all them, they carried a possibles bag. And that's exactly why they carried it, for little things that they needed to get by with. So anyway, you grab this purse or this recon bag and you pull it up over your heart, and you know, they still may shoot you somewhere else. They may shoot you in a femoral artery and you still may bleed out, but you got your heart covered up. And that's what this purse does here. And I think they run about $300, which is not bad, I don't think, considering the way these things are built. They're good looking purses. They really are. There's no reason that a woman wouldn't want to carry one of these. And I think there's, let's see, there's two prices here. I think there are $299 for the standard one and $329. Here they are. Here we go. Here, wait. The small concealed carry tote is $299 and the larger one is $329. That's the tip of the iceberg. Some of the company's other bag options reach as high as $350. And so what? That's what, $21 difference? But if, anyway, so that's a good looking deal there. All right, let me move on. We need to get done here. Yeah, you've seen what's going on in Virginia. I talked briefly about this last week, but, they are doubling down, as they say. They're trying to, they haven't passed it yet, they're trying to stop firearms training over there, assuming that this firearms training, you are training militia people. You're training people to be active shooters, which is kind of what the theory is of some of these people. I guess you call them people. I'm not sure what they are exactly. But, well, they've also are trying to ban martial arts training and that kind of stuff. So this is, it's looking very, very bad in Virginia, because I think the Democrats, I think Virginia is or has turned blue. And I think that Virginia's House and everything now, I believe, is run by the Libs. So if that's the case, Virginia's not looking good at all. All right, I thought I had one more. Oh, here's another good one here. FBI says, by the way, do you see the numbers of guns sold this last reporting period here, or during the holidays? Man, they said there's enough background checks. If a gun sold for all the background checks that came in, it'd be enough to arm every person in the Marine Corps in this weekend. In a couple of days here. Anyway, news from the FBI. This is apparently, let me double check here. It is, yeah, that's what I thought. It's a year or so old. So anyway, they're saying handgun murders drop when states pass constitutional carry. Imagine my surprise. How many times have you already heard that on the shooting bench before they ever announced this? Anyway. But I guess for them to recognize it at all is a good thing. All right. Well, I'm going to get out of here. I'm glad you guys joined me tonight. I've been for the last week or so, I've been running pre-records because I'm busy with this sheriff campaign. I've got everything else. The days are short now. Now it's darker than the inside of a cow here by 5 o'clock. So I've got a lot of stuff to get done. So the pre-record is just working out better for me. Remember, your pre-records now are current, dated, and it is about current events or about something that I feel like you need to hear. So they're not old archives. They are current pre-records. But tonight I wanted to do it live because I wanted to do it live, and it's my show, and I can do whatever I want to. Okay. Thank you all. I appreciate it. And we'll see you Wednesday night, same time. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night. Thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. box that belongs.